Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Last time we were together, we started to look at noteworthy verses in the book of Ephesians, and that's where we're going to pick up. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 18 together. Ephesians 5 verse 18 in the Word of God says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." What's interesting it is if you think about it this way, wine, alcohol, fermented wine, hard liquor, whatever it may be, is also called distilled spirits. So when the command here is when you get saved, we're to change the spirit from distilled to the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit, amen? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of our listeners, before they were saved, had a drinking problem, were drunkards, amen? So when you get saved, it's almost like you don't stop drinking, but you've changed bottles from the distilled Spirit to the Holy Spirit, amen? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. The Word of God says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Notice that it's the melody, part of the music that God likes the most, not the rhythm. Also bear in mind the fact that the Campbellites, or the Church of Christ, use this verse to teach that one should not use musical instruments in a church's worship service. As the listener can plainly see, the verse isn't referring to a worship service. Nothing is said about instruments. Amen. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 as we're again doing a study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and we're looking here at noteworthy verses in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, we're still in chapter 5. Let's look at verses 22 to 25. The Word of God says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." What I want us to see here from this passage is the Christian marriage is a type of Christ's relationship with the church, with two essential ingredients being love and obedience. Amen. Now we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 18. The Word of God says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplication for all saints. Here we have the Bible passage on Christian warfare, with the whole armor of God being recommended to the believer. The armor consists of five pieces of protective gear for the head, the feet, the loins, the chest, and a shield. Then there is one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With the word stand being used three times in the passage, in verse 11, verse 13, and verse 14. It appears that God is stressing the point that the Christian must spend most of his time standing his ground and protecting himself from evil influences rather than being a spiritual Rambo who is always taking on the enemy. Yes, we do have the Word of God for advancing the cause of Christ, but we must not neglect the call to stand our ground and protect our testimonies, our families, and our churches. To add to this balance, we are admonished to be praying always in verse 18, which explains why the soldier wasn't giving any leg graves in verse 10 through 17. He's on his knees in prayer. Amen. Now we're going to turn and look at some noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible in the book of Philippians. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 together, and we'll look at verse 6. Verse 6 of Philippians 1 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So our verse tells us God will perform his work in us until the day of Jesus Christ, which means this is a great verse on eternal security. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. In verse number 11, the Word of God says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The term every tongue would include all unsaved people, also the devil and his angels. Amen. Alrighty, we're still looking at noteworthy verses here in the book of Philippians. Chapter 2 with me. Verses 12 to 13. The Word of God says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. To work out your own salvation is not to work to be saved, which is made clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and in other places as well. We are to work out what God has worked in. For it is God, as it says in our verse, which worketh in you. Amen. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, or rather Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Philippians 3, verse 2, it says in the Word of God, beware of dogs, Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Hear one of the most quoted phrases in the New Testament, although no one ever thinks about it. A common thing that preachers look for when they're making visits is beware of dog sign. And here the dogs in our verse are obviously spiritual. Amen. Alrighty, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians 3, verse 21. The Word of God says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Notice what the Word of God calls your body and my body. A very strong word, vile. Amen. Here we see at the rapture, when we go up, God's going to change our vile body and fashion it, make it like unto his glorious resurrection body. Amen. But what I want you to tell you is this. The New Bible perversions can't handle the term vile bodies. So what do? They change it to humble or lowly bodies. No, my dear listener, the Word of God is very strong. Our bodies are vile. They're wicked. Amen. That flesh is corrupt. Amen. We were born in this world with a fallen nature because of Adam's sin. All righty, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Word of God says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. My dear listeners, here we have before us a great verse to hide in our hearts. God wants the world to see us rejoicing always, not just when things are going well. It isn't easy, but it's commanded. Rejoice always, even when things are going wrong. Amen. Alrighty, Philippians chapter 4. In verses 6 and 7, the Word of God says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice there's a period after verse 6, because the peace of God comes when we leave our cares with the Lord and trust him with them, not when we merely tell him about them. Amen. Alrighty, we're still in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we're looking at noteworthy verses. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11, the Word of God says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Here we are, a great verse on Christian contentment. Also one that contains a great doctrinal truth. You see, your state and my state can change from day to day. Hot, cold, sad, happy, healthy, sick, poor, wealthy, etc. But your standing in Christ never changes. Thank God for that. Amen. Notice, now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a verse often quoted, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I once heard a preacher point out an interesting truth about this often quoted verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, not who strengtheneth me. You see, my dear listeners, it is our daily exercising walk in Christ that strengthens us, not us sitting around on the couch and waiting for Christ to supernaturally strengthen us. The old adage, God helps those who help themselves, is not scripture, but is often scriptural. Amen. All righty. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4 in verse number 19. The word of God says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. This is a great memory verse. But note that it is our needs that God supplies, not our wants. Amen. Now we're going to move on to the book of Colossians, and we're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of Colossians. And I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 1 in verses 13 through 18. And the word of God has this to say, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, and of course this is referring to Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now, this is a great passage to remember, for it is one of the New Testament places that speak of Christ as the Creator. The others are found, look in John chapter 1 with me, the Gospel of John, in verses 1 to 3. And the Word of God says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And of course, the Word, capital W, is Jesus Christ. Now listen, here it is, verse 3. All things were made by him, referring to the Word, Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. That makes it certainly clear, does it not, that Jesus is the Creator of everything. Amen. And then the other place that speaks of Jesus Christ as Creator is found in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, for God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, referring to God's Son, Jesus Christ, also he made the worlds. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 with me. The Word of God says, Colossians 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what we want to see here is it is through his blood that we have redemption and forgiveness. So the new Bible perversions have omitted the phrase. They take the blood of Jesus Christ out. Amen. That's why they're Bible perversions. of the devil. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Colossians 2:8, we read, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Here's a great Bible warning against the philosophies of the world. My dear listeners, our standard is the Word of God, not the words of the world. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2:11, we read this, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Here we see that all Christians have been circumcised spiritually, a work of God that separates the new born-again man from the outer sinful flesh. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Again, we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and in particular right now, we're in the book of Colossians. We're looking at noteworthy verses in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 with me. Colossians 2, verse 16, the Word of God says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." So, the handwriting of ordinances, which is mentioned in Colossians chapter 2 here in verse 14, was done away with as at Calvary. Because 2 Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So we as Christians are not to be taken up with the ceremonial aspects of the law of Moses, such as feast days, new moons, and Sabbaths. The moral parts of the law are still in effect, just as they were in effect before the law was given to Moses. You know, thou shalt not kill, steal, etc. Consequently, when Paul writes about loving one another by fulfilling the law, he mentions only moral commandments. Notice Romans chapter 13, verse 9. "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. The Word of God says, "Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of earth." This is a great memory verse, my dear listeners, for all Christians. Our affections belong on things above and not on the things of earth. Set our focus. Set what? Our affections. Amen. The things that we love, we care about, should be focused or set on the things above. Amen. The Father is above. Jesus is above. Amen. The Trinity is above. The throne of God is above. Our home in heaven is above. Our mansion is above. Amen. Those are the things that we should love and care about, and our focus should be on. Amen. The departed saints are above. And someday we're going to go through the glassy sea up to the third heaven, amen, which is above. Alrighty, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The word of God says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God in the Father by him. In other words, if you can't do it, or say it in the name of Jesus, then don't do it or say it. You know, people will come and say, can I do this or can I do that? Amen. Look at this verse and what it says. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, if you can't do it in the name of Jesus, and you can't say it in the name of Jesus, don't do it. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. We read this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. This is much like the verse that we just read in Colossians 3 verse 17. Except it is added that we are to do such things heartily as to the Lord, not just in his name. Our behavior would be much altered, would it not, if we fully follow these two verses all the time. Amen. All right, now we're going to move into 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 10, the Word of God says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Notice that we are not waiting for the great tribulation and the Antichrist. We are waiting for his Son from heaven. See, it says he's going to deliver us. We're waiting and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What's the wrath to come? That's the great tribulation. And he's going to deliver us at the rapture. He's going to take us out of here. Amen. Before the great tribulation. Thank God for that. Amen. Here's a good verse to show that the church, all born again believers, are not going to go through the tribulation. No, because we're going to be caught away, amen, up to the third heaven. Praise God for that, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So, the Bible is to be received as the word of God, not the word of men, and then it's only effective in those who really believe. Merely reading and studying the Bible as a habit isn't enough. The serious and true believer must take in God's word and claim it. As the hymn says, we must be live, standing on the promises of God. Well, we're just about run out of time. And remember, this series, when we get through with it, will be available on CD. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor's study. Till we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.